Fail 71. Fail 71. We're back. We're back with Fail 71. Podfathers, how are you? How are thou?
I'm well. How are you, Bartholomew?
I'm doing pretty good. I am finally recovered from the fair, I think. The amount of food I had was insane. Plus Kate's home cooking afterwards, and
on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being a quiet tube down the lazy river, and a 10 being the greatest white water raft over Niagara, how was your gastrointestinal system?
I'd probably say it was like definitely 5.
Okay. Fair.
It was surprisingly okay.
That's pretty mellow. I'm actually pretty impressed by that. Huh.
Yeah.
Peter, how about you, buddy? How was your gastrointestinal system?
I have felt better.
Okay.
Well, I have felt worse. I felt considerably worse after waffles. Waffles is the bar.
Uh-huh.
I'll say that. Matt can vouch for that. Benjamin can also vouch for that. Someone, I think, also soon, within the next 12 months, not named Ben, Matt, or Peter, will also be able to vouch for that.
That's true. We will have.
But the state fair is a ritual.
It is.
Mm-hmm. And so is being able to withstand the NFL offseason. And boys, we're almost through. How many days until NFL football per this recording? How many days until?
Like 10, 11?
It's next week, right?
Is it Thursday?
Next Thursday.
So 10 days.
Yeah, next Thursday, 10 days. Okay. We're at no more than two hands until football. I mean, we're here to yeah.
My
I know.
Parent does not though.
We have quite a few fail updates to go through. I think some trades, some pretty big ones, have gone through. I know the last pod to discuss trades was Sam, the Dynasty Dads After Dark version 7, with Sam. It was cool to see Sam on the pod. So Sam, I know you're listening to this. Thanks for coming on. It was great to see you and Eli as well as Kamish get to chat it up. There were some rule changes, I think, that were either announced or were definitely brought to attention that have been announced since then, like the seventh playoff team. I think that's officially a thing going into this year, right?
Yeah, that's a pretty big change.
I think so. So how does that land with you guys? I'm curious.
I'm a big believer that half the league should be in the playoff. So it seems natural to me that half of our 14 is in. How it looks this year, I don't know. I mean, much like when the NFL moved to 7, I feel bad for the 2 seed. We've seen a lot of really, really good teams end up with a 2 seed and maybe a injury or an odd game or even a rivalry. You know, what happens in their last week, something happens that could cost them the 2 versus the 1 seed. That's a tough spot to lose a bye like that, and it makes your potential regular season champ just that much more important, which is a good thing, but I just think that's suddenly a really big gap. But overall, happy to have a 17 in there.
Yeah, I'm in the exact same thought. Yeah, obviously, I mean, it sucks for the 2 seed, depending on what went on throughout the rest of the season. But I think
just because they lose a bye, right?
Right. Yeah. Like if you go from the 1 seed to the 2 seed on something stupid or fluky, like that sucks because now you lose the bye. But the same could be said if you're in the 2 seed and something fluky happens and you go down to the 3 seed. So I really don't feel all that bad.
Mm-hmm. No.
If I really had it my way, I would probably put 8 teams in the playoffs and have no bye week.
Wow. So make it super difficult to repeat.
100%. Yeah.
Imagine having to go perfect back-to-back years in the playoffs.
Fascinating.
Whoa.
The league would last a lot longer.
You would think, right? Mm-hmm. I would think so.
Right.
I think that change is good, though. I mean, biased my team. Yeah, I love it. I love that there's a seventh playoff spot. It makes me more in the camp of, all right, let's try to make the playoffs for the first time in this league's history. Let's go. Mm-hmm. So I like it. And again, it balances out 7-7, 7-7 out. And I think for me, I also like just the natural distinction of only one team. The best team, number one seed, gets the only bye. If you're two, hey, you made the playoffs and you got to compete like everybody else except for the one seed minus a week. I like that change. Yeah, that's where I land on it. I don't think there's been any changes to tanking or anything as far as the first three picks. I know that was discussed in the last episode pretty heavily about max points for or points for versus like as a anti-tanking effort. Curious if you guys have any thoughts on that, if we should alter what the league's stance is on tanking teams, or whether we should leave it alone and let teams who have, hey, if they want to purposefully be bad and flush $150 down the drain, they can go ahead and do it.
I'll start off because I think I may have been one of the people that even sent it to commission. And I think I sent it because they had been asking and someone said something about it. And I really am a believer that the team that gets worst should have the first pick. Because if a team, like you just said, if a team wants to be so bad, they want to pay $150 to be in the league and they eat waffles because they consciously made that, like you just said, and I think Ben alluded it to it, that waffles may be the worst punishment that he's done.
It's horrible.
So like,
I've done everything he's done except for, no, I did the ACT.
Yeah. So it's like, I think if someone wants to pay $150 and they want to eat waffles or sit in a, horrible, or pancakes, whatever it is, or they want to sit in a Denny's or a Waffle House for 24 hours. Like, I think that should be an option.
Not to mention, or you did mention it, your team is bad. No. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the only time when we ran into teams that were good that tanked was probably year one. Chris had a had a really good team and tanked. He did. And then I think this last year with Kamish, he had a pretty good team that could have made the playoffs and he tanked.
Yeah, what
with a lot of those people.
I feel like he had so much roster change. I don't even know what his team was going into week one, two, three last year. I can't remember.
He sold a lot throughout the season, but his team was still good enough, in my opinion, that he could have made the play. Like, he could have been in playoff.
He mentioned that in the podcast with Sam and Eli. He was like, hey, I just did this.
Yeah.
So and he even acknowledged it too.
Yeah. And that's why I think people have said too, like, I don't think that there should be any anti-tanking punishments. Like, I don't know. I get why NFL, NBA, why there might be something like NBA more so, where it's like, yeah, they're going to kind of regulate if a team is truly tanking. But I mean, I think if you're paying to be in the league and you're willing to do the horrible punishment to do it,
Tank away.
And I also am a believer that 3.0 should be 2.0.
Meaning?
Do
you want it to go back to 115? Okay.
2.0.
See, were you going to say anything about tanking?
Yeah. I mean, my big takeaway is if a commissioner makes a rule immediately after participating in activity, that's blatant hypocrisy. I would riot. And I know Jonathan's not going to do that. I trust him not to. But that would be pretty hard if there was anything that was rolled out this year specifically. Don't get me wrong. I despise tanking. I mean, I've had at least 2 years where I should have gone full throttle and gone down, refused to do it. So
yeah.
I get it. But on the other hand, there's just a certain pride in intentionally losing games that I really struggle with. So,
yeah,
it is what it is.
Going to do it this year.
I'm going to try and win my games. I just think I'm going to have so few points it won't matter. And that's what it is. So we'll see what this year brings. And I don't know. I mean, I think the interesting thing about this year is I don't see a team trying to lose as of right now. And that could change.
Right.
You know, we've had years where it has changed and where different things have happened. Going into last year, if you'd have told me, you know, during week zero that Kamish would actively attempt to lose all his games, I wouldn't have believed you. So it happens.
It does.
On the other hand, it's like, well, you know, what does that entail? So it is what it is. It's going to work. But I don't know, something about it seems a little fishy to have to implement or even discuss implementing this right after you do it. But I trust him. He's going to do well, and I think it's going to be fine. One change I did like is if you're truly accused of tanking and starting a suboptimal lineup, still being ineligible for that supplementary pick. But my trouble with that one is, what defines tanking? Because Jonathan was still in the contention for that pick while he had two starting NFL QBs on his bench last year. So
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I have a hard time with any of that. So
I think you should just get rid of it. Just because.
Supplemental pick, you mean?
No, I think you should get rid of the thing that says, oh, if you tank, you're not eligible for it.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, because, I mean, who?
Then you got to have someone make the decision. And like Knut just said, Kamish was technically within the rules. Right. And so who's going to make the decision on if someone was within the rules? Kamish. Like, it just, like, there's a lot to be, I don't know.
I don't know. And I'm of the opinion, keep it at the lower value. Not because I don't think the higher value would be nice, but that supplemental pick, it can just lead to such problematic behavior. And it's such a swing. I think avoiding a secondary punishment is motivation enough to not be bad in the toilet bowl that I'm going to do everything in my power not to lose it solely because, oh God, I don't want to eat waffles.
Dude.
I mean, and Matt's never going to want to eat waffles again.
Never. Never. Yeah, he petitioned hard for a rule to be that you don't get punished if you lose the toilet bowl as a non-last place team.
I don't know.
And I don't blame him. I don't blame him for it, but I also am pro if it's a punishment, you got to serve it.
Mm-hmm. And he did, and I give him a ton of credit for that. I'll be honest, I was worried for a little while there, but he did it, and way to go.
Oh, no. Matt's a fellow of integrity.
Absolutely.
I never waffled.
Well,
Matt was going to pull through.
My next point, let's bring up some of these trades. Let's go through a little bit.
Let's do it.
This is not in order, but I've got some that I want to talk about before others. Peter, I want to start with your trade with Mark. You traded.
Okay.
A 2024 first, 2024 second, a 2024 second, and another 2024 first for Josh's 2024 first. Instant reactions. You've got the microphone.
Me?
Absolutely.
I like it for me because I made the trade. My reason is this. I really enjoy the talent that is subject to come out in the 2024 NFL draft. And I believe that Josh's pick has a substantially decent chance of being where I don't see Sam's pick or my pick getting to. And if I'm not going to trade those picks for talent, which I was not going to get, talent that fit my timeline that I wanted to roster, quite frankly. I took a bet on saying, hey, and for me, the seconds are exactly what I needed to get me over the hump. I hopefully am not needing to start the second round picks in 2024. If my roster is to look anything like I hope it should. And so the talent at the top of the draft is worth me taking a substantially lopsided bet on it. And if Josh's team does not finish where I suspect or hope they his team to finish, if they don't finish there, or if multiple teams who do own their picks decide to tank and finish worse than Josh, then that's a different conversation. And then I lose that trade by a mile and we'll see what happens. But we'll see. I don't know. I like making trades, and it's fun, especially with Mark, because it takes forever. It's fun to actually be able to say, hey, I actually, like, we did it. We got a trade. We did a deal. So it was fun to actually get something done after a couple of days of chatting.
That is an accomplishment, and it feels good when it works, because it's not easy, and there's 25 fake offers in the middle, and then pulls out the rug, and you're like, okay, well, move on, and then eventually he comes back. But what do you think? What do you think of this trade?
There was an unbelievable amount of quoting and replying to old offers saying, are you serious, or is this still a thing, or what do you mean? What do you mean this wasn't an offer? And then it clearly goes back to someone saying, what are your thoughts on X? And so it's like a ton of just bullshitting back and forth, which is half, like, three quarters of the fun of it. Right. Like, that's especially with a governor like Mark. I mean, it's just a blast. Like, when Mark's in the mood to trade and wants to talk, man, there's nobody better, in my opinion. He's a blast he's a blast to negotiate with, and I'm fine getting quote hosed on a trade if that's the case.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. I was quite surprised, because Eli thinks that Josh's pick could be 101 or 102.
Wouldn't that be something?
I don't know. Cause I
don't know.
I think, like, he's got a starting quarterback. He doesn't really have a starting tight end, I suppose. I don't know. His team is such a wild card.
He's got two starting quarterbacks.
Oh yeah, he's got Geno and Watson. So unless he does something, I mean, I think his pick could be in the range of like four. I mean, it could be three, it could be four, it could be five. Like you said, like, yeah, you're kind of taking a gamble, but I mean, you gave yours, which I agree, your team is better than Jeremy's. You know, right now you're projected at seven.
It is. My team's better than Jeremy's.
He means Josh's.
Or Josh's, sorry.
Oh, I got that on record.
Clarification.
I'm gonna post that in 2027 when it's actually true. And it's gonna feel great.
So your pick is right now, according to all things, 107. Sam's is somewhere around 109, I think.
Yeah.
So you're giving up 7, 9, 201, 203 for 103. I mean, I guess going from 7 and 9 to 3. I don't know. I feel like it's hard giving up 201 and 203, or 202 and 203 on top of that, because those are, I mean, we've seen those be pretty good pieces.
Agreed.
For teams.
Yeah, agreed, for sure.
So, I mean, like you said, it's all going to come down to where it goes. I personally would not have made the trade, just because I would rather have 7 and 9 in the case of Josh gets to 5.
Yeah, makes sense. Have
7, 9, 202 and 205. Then
yeah, 205. Yeah. Yeah, from a value perspective, absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, I hope for your case, I hope that Josh's team sucks and it's a high pick, because
I mean, I don't even think of it as Josh's team being inherently bad, which it may be. I think of it this way: which teams are going to be worse than his?
Well, I think, I personally believe that.
Like, tell me, is Josh's team, are there four teams that are worse than Josh's?
apart from his better judgment, I feel like Knut is going to try and purposefully lose a few games. That's my opinion.
Sure. So, and you and I may agree on that.
And so I think his pick ends up in the range of, I think Mark's team is the worst team, especially now that Colt McCoy has been cut. I think Mark is a lock for 101.
Yeah.
And trading Pollard. So 101 is right there. I think Knut could easily, I think he could will himself to get to 102. He doesn't need to tank, or he doesn't need to eat waffles. And he did one of the top two players in the league. He also has ammunition. If Mark's pick is 101 and he wants Caleb, he's got the ammunition from go to 201 to, or 102 to 101, kind of like what Kamish did last year.
For sure.
So I think he could will himself to get there. I see those two being worse. So like I said, sure, like 103, then yeah, whose team is worse? Possibly Dan Pease. I mean, he doesn't have a starting quarterback at all. He does. Other positional players. Who does he have?
He's got Mac Jones.
Oh, he does have Mac Jones. Okay, so he has one, but his
position. But yeah, no second quarterback.
So yeah, I mean, I would say Josh's pick is for sure, like at best 103.
Yeah, I would agree.
Which means you need Sam to have a pretty good year this year.
Yeah, and if Sam has a year where he, is trying to contend at least, and is beating the teams that are not, and then maybe getting competitive and getting a stray victory point here and there, depending on how that shakes out. Yeah, Sam's pick. I mean, yeah, we'll see. But again, like you said, let's say even in that situation, let's say Mark's pick is 101 and I move out of 101. I'm recouping the value, hopefully, from a pick perspective that I lost getting that pick anyway, so that at potentially I'm even again. But again, that's like so many hypotheticals. It makes me sick.
And it's so far on the road.
And it's so far away. It's like it's incredibly wild to be thinking that much about it. But I am, and I made that trade. So we'll see.
Because if it is 103 and your pick is 107, 108, Sam's right, is 109, 110, 108 and 110 to get to 103 is
in 2 seconds.
And that's, yeah, he would never accept that.
I mean, maybe, but I don't know. It's hard.
I think that would be dumb because you would have to have a quarterback at three.
Especially knowing you already have one. And that's the thing I have to remind myself.
I mean, I'm just titillated, though, with the guys at 1, 2, and 3.
It'd be different if you didn't have one.
I know.
So I guess with that knowing, I still wouldn't do it. I mean, I had 104 this year and had the opportunity to trade 2 first and 2 seconds. Wasn't going to do it. But it also makes a difference when you do it in August versus doing it in April.
Right. So it's like you weren't taking that deal when you had 104 and you were on the clock.
Yeah.
So it's
I don't know. And I
think of it this way. Would you trade Stroud for the players at?
Yeah, that's basically it's Stroud for, what would that be? Meyer, Laporta, Kincaid, which you wouldn't take three tight ends, but no, it's those guys and who was in the
was it Levis. Quentin Johnston or Levis?
Yeah. That's your option.
Maybe. I don't know.
Depends on the year. You know, this year are you trading Drake May for, you know, two tremendous wide receivers, which there's going to be a lot of them again this year.
Mm-hmm. And then so, the in this scenario, it would be, would you trade C.J. Stroud for Jordan Addison, Dalton Kincaid, Jonathan Mingo, and Sam Laporta?
Depends on how good C.J. Stroud is in 3 years. Right? Like, that's like if C.J. Stroud is a quarterback one.
It's also hard for me because I did not have a quarterback, which neither did Mark.
So and that's hard, also what you have to factor into as well as like, hey, team need.
Why did Mark get rid of Drake May? You know, why did Mark get rid of Sam Hartman? Why did Mark get rid of whoever that
quarterback is, the second quarterback that comes off the board after 102?
Yeah, because, I mean, Yeah, it's going to be a certain three-letter acronym wide receiver that's going to go after the quarterback.
It's Caleb Williams and Marvin. I can say it because I don't have a pick that high. It's those two are one and two, whatever way you want to put it. They're the top two picks as of
probably.
Yep. So I don't know. I mean, I think there's just a certain element to it that just makes a ton of sense. All right.
Yeah.
Next trade up. We won't spend too much time on this one. The one I thought was probably one of the more interesting trades of the period. What do you think of Kamish and Josh's Waller for Ertz trade with a little spicy Brian Robinson and 2025 first thrown in there?
I mean, Kamish needed to make a move for a tight end, and I'm seeing that play out in what he had to give up.
Yeah. My question is a Giants Waller at this stage in his career still worth, I mean, Zach Ertz is worthless to me.
Right.
He plays on a garbage team. That doesn't matter.
And he's 35 or 34, right, however old.
But a young running back in a committee, don't get me wrong, but every young running back is in a committee these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and a
good point.
First round pick.
Ooh. Yeah, that's.
But I think the other thing you can think about too is that first round pick that he gave away is going to be pretty late in 2025.
But it's a first.
You think?
Yeah, it's probably going to be like 12 or 13.
Commission's all running backs. Backs.
Yeah, what if he explodes?
He gave my 25 first. So it's going to be.
Oh, okay.
Well, what if you explode? You only
or with
have
the slow play.
Bort, you only have five QBs. What would you do if three of them died?
Yeah, come on, man.
I don't know.
Come on.
Hey, but this brings up, hey, because we're talking trade, okay, I'll give my opinion on this. I personally believe this was a great trade for Kamish. I think he essentially...
Really? Surprise. Wow. I'm shocked.
He gave a 2025 first. He got a 2024 second and a 2025 third for Waller. So essentially he traded Zach Ertz for a third, and he traded a second for Brian Robinson, and he gave a first for Darren Waller.
I mean,
Darren Waller, personally, I think is great. It's going to do good things for him. Now, yes, is Waller 30 years old? Yeah, but he's also probably the number one target in New York.
Yeah, he is.
Sterling Shepard.
Don't go there.
Okay, don't take this too far. I'm talking the type of role that he's going to have.
Here he goes.
Is similar to like a Chiefs style.
All right, you're done. Muted.
He's not going to be on the same level, and he probably won't be touching Kelce, but he could be. I mean, he could be a top five tight end this year.
This poses a legitimate question: would you rather have Waller for one first, or would you rather have Kelce for two firsts?
Yeah, but the thing is, I mean, Kelce's 4 years older.
So,
Kelce's 34.
All of these teams playing tight ends know for a fact their tight end might explode in a year. I mean, none of these tight ends are 10-year commitments, except Kyle Pitts and Sam Laporta.
Hell yeah, brother.
And
Juwan Johnson, don't even try.
Yeah.
Pat Freiermuth.
Okay, Freiermuth is another young one. That's a good point. But I mean, the tight end position is so boom or bust. Why not spend a second on a Jag? You know, go get a.
The former rookie from Arizona, Trey McBride from Ben, for a second?
Well, easily.
You think so?
But do you want a Arizona tight end? Do you want an Arizona offensive player this year?
Kind of. I mean, you got to get somebody. I kind of like Hollywood Brown this year, not going to lie.
I think they're going to run the ball a lot.
You could have gotten a Hayden Hurst.
True.
You could have TP for a second, depending on
what those are. Okay. But I would rather have Darren Waller for a first, if that's the conversation of who I could get for a second, then I'm paying up a first to get Darren Waller. Like then you have to play the contextual game of this league. right? Like, what is this league's stance on tight ends? And the ones who have been elite, I looked it up. Darren Waller was a tight end two, has been a tight end two, like multiple years.
He was only, once. Wasn't it the only but, year he was not injured or in prison?
Yeah.
Never mind.
Probably.
Yeah. I mean,
but
I haven't seen the sustainable production from Waller. I've seen through some of these. Yeah, he had one really good year and we're going to remember that forever. But
right.
I mean, whatever. I wasn't involved. It's easy for me to say 30,000 feet. You don't see any of my trades, you know,
but then
in the roster. So,
but okay. I'm commissioned then. And then if I don't trade for Waller, my tight end going into week one is
Knox, right?
Dawson Knox.
Mm-hmm. Zach Ertz.
You got to be kidding.
Zach Ertz. I mean,
no other tight end. No other tight end was available clearly because he traded for Waller.
Well, but Eli has Gesicki, Fant, Albert O, Otten.
I don't want any of those guys.
There's no way he's going to hold all four. Yeah, but at least those four are not 30. I don't know.
Kamish has now gone into win now mode, I guess, with the young stable of running backs. And
Hear me out.
He's willing to pay a first for it.
Zach Ertz has had arguably a much better career than Darren Waller.
Okay? He has.
He's only a year removed from being tight end five.
Mm-hmm.
And then before that, he was also injured. And then it was 4-2-3-6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, no, Zach Ertz is a certified stud.
Maybe he was a stud.
I get that he's not in a very favorable situation with, you know, whoever's the quarterback. But, I mean, Pete, we were at the preseason game. I mean, Clayton Tune doesn't look to be no scrub. I mean, he's not going to be amazing, but he can get a certain guy the ball once in a while. I mean,
I'm not gonna say any positive comments about anybody on Jeremy's team.
That's a good point.
Fair enough. Well, hey, let's move to.
But he could. Yes, you're right. You're right. Zach Ertz in Arizona is not a horrible place. So Josh could have a better tight end this year anyway.
Yeah. So let's move to the spiciest trade.
Yes, please.
This is.
Mark traded with Ben.
Wait, whoa, you think this is the spiciest trade?
Whoa, we have a couple spicy.
Is one up.
I think this is the spiciest because.
Give it to me, boys.
Mark gave Ben the position of most need. Ben is the reigning champ. And these picks are worthless.
Absolutely incorrect.
Wait, what was the trade? Give it to me again.
He got Ben's first this year, 24.
Not worthless.
And he got Ben's 26 first.
Not worthless.
And he got Cole Kmet.
For Tony Pollard?
Yes.
I like that deal for Mark.
I think that is a brilliant
deal. I love the deal for Ben.
We have been on a different wavelength all night.
Apparently, talk it out, boys.
Ben needed running back help. I mean,
right.
Miles Sanders, I think he could have a really good year in a new system in Carolina. I think that Pollard is going to have a great year again in Dallas. So he's also, he's got Pacheco as well. He's got A.J. Brown, and Cole Kmet was sitting on his bench. He was not going to play likely at all this year because he also has tight end in Houston. Forget whoever that is. And he's got David Njoku starting. So I'm like, I guess this was a no-brainer for me. I was like, two firsts and a throw-in piece for – a starting running back that has top five potential.
You're higher on Pollard this year than we are.
Oh boy. Are you ever top five?
Top five is wild to me.
Top five potential. Definitely.
Is he even an RB1? Is he top 14?
I think he's a top 14 running back this year.
What are you talking about?
Dallas has never been committed to a single running back since Pete Zeke. There is no way they let him finish the season.
And that's not that long ago. That's not that long ago, Knute.
They're a different team. This is a complete – this is a Mike McCarthy-led team.
They're going to throw it?
They're not only going to throw it a ton, which Pollard can catch. Don't get me wrong. He can. But they are going to find another running back who we don't currently know.
Malik Davis.
Maybe. It's just going to continue to be whittled away. This team may still sign, as dumb as it is, playoff Lenny.
Oh, no, you didn't say that.
You said that about everybody. So let me give you this. Ezekiel Elliott, unlike last year, this is his entire career. Mm-hmm. RB2, RB13, RB5, 3, 9, 7. Mm-hmm. Last year, 22, and Pollard was 8.
Yep.
I think Pollard finishes about there.
But
at his ceiling, he's 8.
If Tua's brain leaks out of his left ear again, Ben misses the playoffs. I have run the computer. If Tua does not play at least, more than half a season, if he misses more than half a season, Ben does not make the playoffs unless he can trade for another quarterback. His team is that fragile. Ben's team is a great team. I still have him as my second or third best team in the league, but he is so quarterback dependent. Because Tua Tagovailoa is an incredibly fragile quarterback. Either of those firsts could legitimately be top half first. That could be 107. Cole Kmet is he a great tight end? Absolutely not. But he's very consistent. And we just established that a consistent Lee tight Babb. End is valuable. But he plays every week.
He does.
He's worth a second.
So, and if Justin Fields is going to throw it.
And what other owner was going to give Mark two firsts for Pollard? I know that was his asking price.
No, and that exactly. That was move. That's the thing. So if Ben was willing to meet him at asking price, which was probably dropped from what Ben could have got him for his championship run last year when Pollard was going nuts. Pollard was going for more than two firsts, I think. Because he was a year younger. AKA 25 instead of 26. And it was current production. So if Ben gets, Ben's team is so fragile. Is it though? Tua sucks. And you're not winning without two quarterbacks. So if that's his only, if those are, and Lance isn't playing.
I've offered him a starting quarterback in trade for Trey Lance.
Brent, he's the reigning champion.
Yeah, I don't know if you can do that, Brent.
I offered him Jimmy for Trey Lance.
Brent.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Right now?
Yeah. I sent him the offer 2 nights ago.
All right. Let the record reflect, listeners to the podcast. Brent is willing to send a starting NFL quarterback to our reigning and quarterback fragile champion. Unbelievable.
He said no. He said he would rather have Trey Lance right on his bench. So.
Wow.
For that.
I mean, Ben wants the league to live. Let's be real.
Good for Ben.
Good for him.
He doesn't need the money, apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
Not. All right, Knute, what's your spicy trade?
All right. Scrolling down, Commissioner Jonathan Warren.
This is wild.
I tell you what.
Jeremy
Austin got Austin Eckler and a 2026 first for a running back who has played less than a dozen NFL games in 3 years, a 2025 first and a 2024 first. Austin Eckler old? Yes, he is. But to move back a year in first and then only take a first and JK for Austin Eckler, that is a lot of belief in JK Dobbins, which I don't have.
JK ain't shit. I don't think he's going to be good. Especially post-injury, this is weird to say. Visually, he doesn't run the same.
Yeah, I agree.
And it, I don't know. Maybe he's relevant in Baltimore, but I don't even think Baltimore runs the ball that much, just generally speaking.
Austin Eckler is only 4 years older than J.K. Dobbins.
That's what JK is also old.
How old is Eckler? 28?
28.
JK's 24. I mean, yeah, I'll take Eckler and his production this year over JK's next 3 years. Granted, JK will probably score more over the next 3 years, but I think Eckler provides more to Jonathan this year than JK would to him for the 3 years combined.
Austin Eckler scored more.
That's my mind.
Than JK has scored the last three.
Right. So that's so if Jonathan's getting Eckler and a first, and he's giving a lesser quality running back, and okay, he has to give two instead of he's
he
losing
pushed, on he first, pushed but his first out to 26 and he gave a 24 and 25.
Can you sure. tell who's like 24 Jonathan. First is that? I can't the way I'm yeah. looking at it, I can't tell.
The 24 first is Dan Krause's.
Okay, so playoff team.
Yeah, yeah, Dan's a playoff team this year.
I love this team for Jonathan. I mean, did Jonathan need another running back? I don't think so, but what do I know? Mm-mm. I don't have any starting NFL running backs, so good for him.
I got this a question.
Yeah.
I got a quick question. Why are you guys, I guess, never mind. I was going to say, why are you guys like not talking about the fragility of Dan Krause's team? Because I thought he only had two quarterbacks, but then I forgot that Ridder took over starting mm-hmm. in Atlanta this year.
Oh, I think it's fair to say that most of our playoff teams, our true playoff teams, are very quarterback fragile. I mean, Jeremy's backup is Tooney. He's got Herbert's. Oh, we'll get to you. He's got Herbert's.
Mike White.
Cuff.
Mike White, who could take over for Brain Soup in Miami pretty quickly.
Right. But I'm just saying that's a playoff team that, you're right, could absolutely dissipate. We know Chris he just loves trading away some of his athletes, creating two problems where Lamar gets hurt for 2 weeks and then, so
can't get a quarterback.
Yep. And then, yes, Brent, you do have a lot of quarterbacks, but what is a lot of quarterbacks if, let's say, Ramondre Stevenson gets all of his touchdowns hawked and then Michael Thomas is not what we think he is and Pat Freiermuth is exactly what we think he is? Who knows?
They are who we thought they were. Shout out to Nick Green.
Your position players give me some spooks, buddy. So don't get me wrong. You've got the best quarterback room by depth in the league and maybe by total, depending on how you value Joey Burger. But
also, I want to put this out there just so that everybody's aware that currently – is there Josh Dobbs is on the waiver wire, is slotted to be the starting quarterback in Arizona.
Uh-huh.
And I want everybody on this podcast to know that currently Jeremy has $187 FOB dollars, which is the most in the league.
So he's going to get him.
Unless anybody were to trade for FOB dollars and go get Josh Dobbs.
Are we still plotting against Jeremy?
All right. I think he's got a team that's scary, man.
I mean, he's proven to be a slick talker in trade talks.
Oh, he's damn good.
That is evident. Despite his reputation for having a ridiculously good team.
He's a smooth operator. He's got two firsts in 24.
That's terrifying.
Watch out.
And one which, of them is which, Dan which
guys, I'm not going to lie, which is why I got Josh's first, because there ain't no way in hell I'm trading with Jeremy if I get a top, if I get top picks. I know he's going. I mean, he's got to be going after who knows. I would imagine he would make trade offers, but if he held those 24 first all the way through till the draft. And I don't know if I trust other governors with their picks. Like, I don't trust that Mark wouldn't trade with Jeremy.
Oh yeah, especially because they're
you know? Right. And they went to happy hour today. So it's
although Jeremy did say that Mark was a piece of shit. So,
ooh.
Spicy.
That was from you, though.
Is this trade with Ben? Oh, that's right. I told him to say that.
By the way, if you've listened this long, guys, we are going to have Ben, the one, the true champion, and Jeremy, second place finisher, on the podcast next week prior to the NFL season starting. So that will be available for the listeners. So stay tuned for that. And then as well, hopefully nailing down a recording schedule so that will be out for listening prior to Thursday night football kickoff. Just so we can get the computers projections. If Knut's not able to join us, he can give us those prior to the week, and we can go through those. So yeah, that's a little update for you as well.
All right, this was good, team. What a year it's going to be.
So,
Knut, go ahead, Bort.
Before we hop off, have you run this computer? Like, have you done simulations? Just as a little teaser.
To a problematic level, have I run? Yes. I've run way too many. Okay, so with it is right now, with current trades even considered, the same three teams are in the same top three spots, and they have not changed. It is still Chris, then Jeremy, then Ben. So no real surprise there. With Chris now having the highest standard deviation, basically saying the computer thinks his chances of adding or subtracting two wins are the highest of those three by a notable margin. So despite everything I say about Ben, I mean, the computer still thinks that Chris has he could fall two games quicker than Ben throughout the course of the season. Then it's got DFT holding firm. No real changes. Still has Fort in the five spot.
DFT is four. Okay, got it.
DFT is four. Then Bort still at five. Jonathan has moved up to where he is tied with you, and he actually has, he's got one fewer VP than you. There's one week he doesn't get a top half than you do, but he still has considerably more total points than you do, but he's still in the sixth position. The sixth position. And then the fifth, based on total points, currently goes to Sam. Because if I was understanding correctly, it's six based on VPs, and then the last one is based on points.
Correct.
Yeah.
So Sam is six.
Right. Then towards the bottom half, it stayed pretty consistent.
I got a question.
Hit me.
So who has more VPs, Sam or Jonathan?
Jonathan.
So he's got more points and more VPs than Sam.
Jonathan has more points than all the way, take it all the way. He has more than DFT. He has the fourth most points.
Because wow. I was like, he could be like, that's where Ben was.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
He took bad losses.
Yeah, he did.
On high scoring weeks. So, I mean, Jonathan could ultimately see himself in the same position as Ben. He's kind of, he's in six. He could be seven, depending on what DVA. Okay, but then it's Sam. Mm-hmm. Okay, who comes after Sam? And where are we at, like, VP-wise? Like,
Yeah. These guys are in that 16 through 14 range. Looks like the first team out of the playoff right now is probably going to have 14 VPs. Mm-hmm. So that'd be like a 7-6, or excuse me, 14 win total VPs, 22 total VPs. So 7-6 record, which is interesting this year, despite there being no true tanking team, win totals are higher because the top end teams don't have as many wins. So like we don't have a 12 win team this year projected. The highest we go is a 10 win team. So that makes a big difference if you're shaving those wins. We don't, at least right now, I don't think we're going to have a losing record team make the playoffs like we had last year.
That's good for the league.
It is.
Where's Pete at in the computers?
Pete comes in seven back from the last playoff spot in terms of VPs, but in terms of points, he's 241 back from Sam.
Sounds about right.
That could be so made up.
He's after Eli, because Eli's in between there too. Eli's actually fairly close to Sam, but it's funny. Eli has the largest standard deviation of any team in the entire league, which is funny. I just think that's a...
What is it? What's the deviation number?
He's got a 3.5 win total deviation. So that means within one standard deviation, one standard occurrence, so 82.5% of all outcomes when it runs, it says he could be anywhere from all the way up to 9.5, all the way down to 2.5. Which is, that's absurd. That's the biggest I've ever seen one. I've never seen one over
9.5 to what?
To 2.5. That would be a seven range. Because it's projecting that he'll come in at basically 6-7, or it's giving him 6.5 wins. So essentially a 500 record.
500 record.
Yeah. Pretty wacky. Still has Mark at zero. With one total VP, and I don't know what week he picks up the top half, but somewhere in there.
Week 14.
And then it still has me at 5 total VPs at that next spot, going 2-11 with wins over Mark and actually Mark and Matt, interestingly. Because I just happened to catch Matt. I think I catch him when Justin Fields is on bye.
Bye week, okay.
Yeah, Matt is still at 5-8. Dan P and Josh are both still at 4-9, which isn't a huge thing. Huge shift from the previous model. So honestly, despite all the trading, there has not been a ton of big changes. Jeremy took a slight, and I want to really stress, very small step back, and then kind of closed the gap between 2 and 3. And then obviously Jonathan continues to rise in terms of total points, but we haven't seen too many more wins yet. So
I don't know. I'm curious just about me, and we can cut the podcast now. But I'm looking at, like, what's the point differential between, like, me and I'm at 5. So, like, what's the difference between, like, me and a Dan or me and
Ben? Yeah, so you're actually, let's see, you're only one VP back.
I was about to say, that's got to be so close.
And in terms of total points, he leads by 31.
Okay. Yeah,
that's so close.
Yeah, I just really need Dak to not throw a ton of interceptions and stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this will be fun. This is like the first year that I've had a full team of like people I feel good about, and they haven't all gotten hurt or something like last year, or 2 years ago. Like everyone I had, it felt like was just getting like hurt right before the season. But I think this is going to be, like you said, like a really good top heavy like playoff team where the wins are going to be a little bit more spread out, because if there truly is no tanking team, you know, the bad teams are still going to be, you know, bad. Mark and Josh and whatever, but it'll be interesting to see how everything shakes out. I think that I'm not necessarily too scared of Ben repeating. I think he has the opportunity, but he needs a lot to go right for him.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's really interesting that I want to comment on really quick is my total points are higher than Josh's, Dan P's, Matt's, and only 49 below Pete's. But I've got 4 fewer wins than Pete and 12 fewer VPs, because that next 10, the difference between being a 110 points a week and being a 120 points a week in this league is going to be massive. And whichever of those bottom teams can be a 120 average, honestly, probably makes the playoffs, as crazy as it is. Because there's going to be a lot of teams that are averaging between 100 and 110, because other than Mark, I don't know if we have a team that's going to average less than 100.
No.
Other than unforeseen injuries, you know, I can't predict if Eli has 2 QBs go down or something. Well, then, nobody could have seen that coming. But no, legitimately, right. I think that non-playoff bracket might be separated by the time of the year, from the best to the worst, might be separated by less than 100 points, except for Mark, unless he can find some QBs. But having no QBs, it's impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was. It's funny you say that, because I was just looking through my average is like 135 a week.
Yeah, and actually, that's a really good way of looking at it. Is just what this year we don't have a team that's going to average 140. Like last year,
really?
The model, Jeremy was going to average. He was projected to average.
Jeremy was like 144. I feel like he was averaging. He was averaging projected. It wasn't no, but just projections. He was going to average 144.
150.
Like it had JJ for 22 a game, Josh Allen for 26, Herbert for 22, Kittle for 19. Like it was just insane.
Well, that's I mean like. Chase is
21, I would imagine.
Yep. Where this year he's I say only, and I say this in jest because he's still double some of our other teams, but he's 138 and a half this year as an average.
Jeremy.
And again, it doesn't seem like a lot, but right from what I've looked back on the previous 3 years, every 5 points in an average is about a win.
Mm.
It's not perfect. Every year is different, but
yeah.
Generally speaking. Every 5 years, you move up and down on your own team's average. It's about a win, because if he's averaging, and it's not perfect, because nobody's probably going to ever win 13.
No.
But
yeah, if Jeremy hasn't if Jeremy's team a few years ago didn't go perfect,
right?
Yeah. Then nobody's is going to.
That's true because Matt always is looking in the waters.
Whatever
year that Atlanta Falcons team that wasn't going to make the playoffs upset the Carolina Panthers, Cam Newton's Panthers.
Yes.
He's in the weeds.
Uh-huh.
But no, it should be a fun year. I'm actually more excited about the dynamics this year because, I don't think we're going to have a team, again, I could be wrong, that completely falls out from glory. And I don't mean to pick on him, but like Eli was our number two overall team. In the 2022 model, and we really felt good about him, and he was going to be the guy, and he didn't make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone in that middle section might or might not make the playoffs. I don't know, but those top four-ish, they're in.
Yeah. Yeah, that's no surprise. It's the battle for the final two. It's the final, in my opinion, the final victory spot, the victory point spot, number six, and then the new number seven.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited to see how that plays out because there are a ton of teams that are going to have, that are going to be, hey, can they stay healthy enough? Can they outlast other teams that are in that same scenario? Matt. Can Matt with Justin Fields and Jordan Love and Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jahmyr Gibbs and Jake, yeah, the tight end in Tennessee, like who knows, Christian Watson, who knows if Matt stays healthy and has some crazy weeks from Justin Fields,
Jordan Love,
and Jahmyr Gibbs is on demand talent week from week one, Matt's a playoff team.
Yeah.
Or he's screaming for one, mm-hmm. especially just for total points scored, just having two quarterbacks like that.
Well, the other big thing too, trades are going to be so huge because
the trades, man.
If you can find a player, for example, that can add 10 points per week on average,
come on,
which is almost impossible because no one player does that except for Travis Kelce, for example.
Right.
But
right.
If you can find maybe two players that combine for and you add another two wins, you're a surefire five seed, you're in the playoffs, and we're looking back and being like, whoa, he ate waffles? Where one of these playoff teams who just stumbles just barely the wrong way and drops 10 points per week, they're out of the playoffs.
So, right.
I don't know, go try and find those guys who you think are going to try and score that 15-it plus a week, and if you could find one of them, and there's they're on that basically Matt through Mark set of the lineup, go get them. And pay up, those one or two wins are going to be so valuable.
Hey, I've been trying my hardest to do that, but it's hard, man. Trade markets, they know their worth.
Well, I suppose we should let our listeners go to bed because they said this one needs to, but you two got to stay on because I have some other things for both of you.
Oh, no. I'm all out of topics. Bort, what else you got? Anything? You're on mute, brother.
Do I even work for Zoom? I got nothing.
All right. If you made it this far, what should we have him react with?
Send us your favorite GIF.
That could get really clogged. But you know what? Sure, do it anyway.
Yeah, clog the podcast channel with your favorite GIF if you've made it this far. Or no, give the GIF that you have associated with your team going into this year.
Ooh, there you go.
That best describes your feeling towards your team this year. Drop that in the podcast channel after this. All right. Thanks to all who listened. Thank you to the Podfathers.
Thanks, brother.
Peace.
Good night.